great compilation tape. Like breaking up is hard to do, and takes ages longer than it might seem. You gotta kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you gotta take it up a notch. But you don't wanna blow your wad, so then you gotta cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
12 albums, 1 cent. Find our ad in Sunday's paper. Take it to your mailbox. You'll get a lot more music. You'll get a lot more life. Look in your Sunday paper.
Welcome, listener. For those about to rock, we salute you. This is our podcast dedicated to exploring and talking about the greatness that was the music of the best decade. If you're ready for the best in retro music topics on the planet, we present for your enjoyment 80s mixtape Auto Reverse.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi. You know, I don't know what it is. The Skype doesn't actually ring or make a tone. I just have to notice that you're calling.
Really?
That you're calling, yeah.
Huh.
I don't know.
Now, is it on your phone or computer?
It's on my computer, and it used to ring. I don't know what I hit or set or what updated that it doesn't ring anymore, but
huh.
I'm dealing.
Well, I'm glad you're just, like, paying attention and watching your computer and that you're ready to go. So
yep.
That's awesome. So, hello, Suzanne.
Hi, how are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. I'm doing
good.
I'm very excited right now.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you. So, we are looking forward to a really fun month of stuff. I'm fired up. Like,
I don't know how we're going to fit it all in. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. Like, tomorrow, I know tomorrow late afternoon-ish or mid to late afternoon, we're going to try to squeeze in a couple of the ones that I'm really excited about, like the horror movies, because you rewatched Jaws, and I rewatched Jaws just a couple days ago. And I'm rewatching Nightmare on Elm Street for the 80s, and it's freaking amazing. I'm literally on the edge of my couch.
We're gonna talk about it. We'll get to that later. I was surprised how much I enjoyed rewatching Scream, though. It's been ages since I've watched any of these, but I was surprised how much I just enjoyed it.
Scream,
I thought it was much cleverer than I did when I first saw it.
Scream is really good. It's really well done for like a revisit to the old slasher horror films. But we'll get to all that as the month goes on. But
we don't want to deplete our insights yet.
Yeah, no. Today, so I'm going to go ahead and start the show.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bonsai Retro Club 80s Mixtape. Episode of the new wave of, we're going to jump into 1984, and this is going to be another fun night of stuff. Dave cannot join us on this episode again, so we do have some input from him, though, so we'll be talking about his picks as we go through. In fact, I might just mention his first right off the bat once we get started. So, again, it's Suzanne. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi. Hi, great to be here.
And myself, Scott, and we are going to tackle a new wave of 1984, and it's a great, great year for new wave. I have several albums to discuss. I know that one is very, very, and I didn't realize it was one album. Per se, I knew all the songs that I'll be referencing once we get to it. But
If we're gonna just pick all the same albums.
I don't know. We might. I have a couple of like back pocket kind of albums that are that might not be as pickable for some of us. I don't know where you're gonna go. I'm curious to see where you're gonna go with this one. So
okay.
Dave sent us his picks, And we'll talk about his first pick. Okay.
Okay.
And you got the message. You got the message too, so you know which one I'm gonna go with.
Yes. Yeah,
and it is Heartbeat City by The Cars. And this is.
Yeah, you know, we did a lot of talking about The Cars, so.
Yes. So we, to reference something that Suzanne and I talked about was Rick Ocasek and his passing, and. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, I'm not sure how these are going to fall together, like if we're going to release the Rick Ocasek episode before this one. I think we are. So if you go back and listen to the Rick Ocasek album or episode, Suzanne and I give, you know, our tribute to him and The Cars and all that he gave to the new wave industry, along with just pop music overall. He's just an amazing artist. So... And we did talk a little bit about this album, but we're going to talk about it again, more specifically just this album versus The Cars and Rick Ocasek's career. So, 1984.
I mean, it's just, the year goes down in history and in literature. Everybody was waiting for 1984 to see if the world was going to end, you know?
Or if it was
And we got to live through it in our prime.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know what's funny? About 3-4 months ago, so, man, I'm all over the place tonight. I apologize. I'm just bouncing off the walls. So, we're part of this group, a running group, a running walking group that meets up every Wednesday at this little place down here in downtown Tarpon called the Tarpon Tavern. And there's about 20, 25 of us that get together every Wednesday, and then we run up and down. There's an old railroad that was turned into a bike trail type thing, you know, rails to trails situation. So what we do, we meet down there at 6:30, and then we go for a run, and then we come back, and everybody meets back at the tavern at like 7:15. And it's a very wide mix of people, you know. It's people from their 20s up into their 60s. And some people bring their teenage kids along, and somebody brought that book. One of the kids brought that book that he's and I asked him. I'm like, are you reading 1984 for school? He's like, no, I read it once before, and I'm just revisiting it because it was so awesome. I'm like, wow, 1984, big year, just for pop culture and Apple computer commercials and the Super Bowl.
That's
and
right. Exactly. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like there's so much wrapped around 1984, and I was 16 at that time. So
I was 20.
And both.
It was a good year.
Pivotal years.
It was good
right?
to be. It was good to be 20.
Yeah, and it was great. It was great to be 16. Also, you know, I was just coming into like I had a car. I'm like cruising around, and things are getting really fun. And at 20, you're like already into your college years, so you're having way more fun than I am. Oh, that's such a great year. So anyway,
yeah, it was more work though too. I have to say, but anyway.
Yeah, I know, and I got it. By the time I was 20, I was working pretty much a full-time job. So I did not go to college, which I really wish I would have either done that or the military. Anyway, back to The Cars.
Okay.
They came out with
Heartbeat
an album.
City?
Heartbeat City. Great album. I remember listening to many
album.
Of these. I remember listening to many of these songs going... with friends to a certain, there was a lake up in the Chicago, northern suburbs of Chicago where we would go, and there's two beaches right next to each other. And I remember hearing Magic, Hello Again, and I think You Might Think was the other one that was really, really played on the radio back and forth, and then we'd play it on our, you know, cassette tape. Boombox type thing, so we would bring.
Yeah,
with
You Might
us.
Think is a fun bouncy one.
Yes,
I think that was my favorite on the album, but it's a very neat album with very very pop. You know, they'd really come into their own as far as you know, everybody's going to listen to this song. It's not just underground stuff anymore. It's mainstream MTV. You know, lead the way type of fare.
Yeah. Well, they were breaking new grounds in videos too at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Things were getting really interesting in the video era, and these guys were ahead of the. They were pretty much leading the group. My personal favorite on this album is the title track "Heartbeat City." I love that song. Love it.
Yeah, it's a neat song.
Yeah, and it's one of those more, like Dave was asking us before to pull up one of those, you know, kind of a deeper track. And this is definitely one of the deeper tracks, although it did have some radio play, but it's my favorite song on the album. So.
Yeah, it's got kind of this like more soulful feeling to it than some of the other more pop songs and more edgy songs that they did in the past. I don't know. It just had like a little bit more of a softer feeling to it, you know, a little more reverb, and it was a little more romantic, I guess, Heartbeat City. I mean, come on. That's romantic, Heartbeat City.
So do you remember like what you were doing when this album came out, or do you remember anything else about it, or do you want to move on?
Yeah, I remember really liking the video. I remember this was a great year for me. Like I said, the middle of college, almost the middle of the decade, like moving out, like my first apartment outside of college. You feel like you're on your own, you know, your parents aren't there checking around with you, but you know, when you're out there in your own apartment and you're in charge of everything, you know, from making sure that nobody's going to come break in and
right,
to, you know, replacing light bulbs and toilet paper and all those fun grown-up things that you learn you need to do, you know, but then you're on your own. It's like this place is a dump, but it's mine.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was in 1984, at least for the summer.
Yeah. Why am I out of toothpaste again?
Yeah, yeah. Like, how did this happen? And why isn't there somebody coming in to clean the bathroom? I don't understand. Yeah. But, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah.
Good time. So, mine.
So, shout out to Dave for a great pick.
Yeah,
Heartbeat
Dave.
City and the Cars. It's awesome stuff. So do you want to do the first pick, or do you want me to take mine?
I'll do it, but I'm afraid I might take yours.
I don't know. Right. I don't know if
maybe
you will.
Not. Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Yeah, this was really, like I said, a banner year. This is the year when my book takes place, because I think this was really just a key year. You know, like sometimes you get a year that just like sticks out, like 1969. You know, and all these cool things happen. 1984, I think, was just like you're going up that hill in the new wave, and you're coming like right to the top, to the peak, and it's a nice view. But in any case, yeah, that, I mean, of course, there's a ton of great albums, but I'm gonna pick one that I think was out there, and you heard everything a lot, and they were a little bit like kind of an edgy band that wasn't afraid to get kind of out there with their lyrics. The Psychedelic Furs came out with Mirror Moves, which had a lot of great songs on there. And I know I was afraid that you were going to make this pick because I know that you've talked about The Ghost in You, which is like one of the classic, terrific ballad type new wave songs out there.
Those lyrics are just, no pun intended, haunting. They're beautiful. They're deep. I love The Ghost in You. But this is a really good pick. Deep lyrically, deeply written. I love the psychedelic version. I didn't know that until like early 2000s that I liked.
Oh, really?
Loved them so much, yeah. Well, I saw them live at a summer fest up in Wisconsin, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe how much I missed out.
But more recently, right?
Yeah.
You're saying? Okay.
Well, no, it was like in 2000. Three or maybe five. No,
yeah,
about 2005.
Also kind of recent compared to, you know, talking about the 80s.
Back in the 80s, yeah. I didn't see them back then. But, man, I could not believe, like, how great they sounded, first of all, at the time in 2005. Mm-hmm. And then just all the songs were, like, rushing all these memories back to me of being in high school.
Yeah, I think I have not seen them recently. I saw them back in the day. I think I saw them at Pitt. I think they came to my college. But, I've seen video online of some of the newer tours, and I think Richard Butler's voice has held up very well. He still sounds pretty much the same, which you can't say for everybody.
Yeah,
so,
when I saw him, he nailed it. I mean, it was really well done. And it was one of those, so Summerfest in Wisconsin, it's in Milwaukee, actually. It's a big deal every year. Happens right around the 4th of July, usually. And they have, like, five or six free stages. And then they have the main venue, which is an actual stadium for full-on concerts. But the free stages, you know, they bring in the... maybe kind of the retro feel of bands, or some of the bands that aren't quite as popular at the time yet. But that's where I saw them. We saw them for free. And... we sat on this picnic bench and just sat back and watched Psychedelic Furs, and we're like all blown away. It was
can't
awesome.
Beat that.
Awesome. Yeah. Good beer, good friends, good concert, great show. Anyway, so
excellent.
This is a really good pick. I'm glad you picked this.
Yeah.
This is actually in my honorable mentions.
Okay.
For this one, so.
Yeah, I think it stood out, and there's a ton of great albums. But some of the other songs, Heartbeat is really cool. My Time is really cool. Here Come Cowboys. It's just the kind of album where you can put it on and you can listen to almost the whole thing and not hit a clunker there that's going to stop you.
Yeah,
so,
I'll have to revisit like,
the
rest.
Lot.
Yeah, I'll have to revisit the rest of the album because I only really know the two songs on there that were released for radio.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, this is awesome pick. I'm glad you touched base on it.
Good. Yeah, good to get it out there.
So, I'm going to move to my next pick, or my first pick, I should say.
Yes, your first pick.
You know, sometimes you hear music and the lyrics are good, but sometimes you hear music and the lyrics are like, damn. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, I'm into lyrics. I'm a writer, remember?
Okay. So there's a song on this album, Blasphemous Rumors, that blows my mind. And it's Some Great Reward by Depeche Mode is the name of the album.
Ah, okay.
And also on this album is People Are People,
mm-hmm.
Master and Servant, and then a really, really, like, mellow, slow, deep song is Somebody. And that's...
Okay. Yeah.
Somebody is really a powerful lyric song. Like, really powerful. I don't know if you remember it, but if you don't, go back and revisit it, really.
Yeah, I mind if I hear it. Like, I remember a lot of the titles. And, of course, People Are People, you know, once again, one of those songs that was kind of defined the 80s. That Depeche Mode, their sound really stood the test of time as far as people thinking back on what did the 80s sound like. Between them and New Order, I think that covered what club music sounded like.
Yeah, New Order, good pick.
And I would say you definitely heard these Depeche Mode songs every, if you wanted to go out anywhere, any club, any party, you heard them. And I saw this album on the, you know, the list and looking up like what, you know, what choices we had for this year. And I knew that was a big one, but I didn't know the album well enough to make it one of my picks, but I get it. I completely get what you're saying. And Master and Servant is a really cool song too.
Master and Servant's pretty radical. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Like.
It's a pretty amazing album. There's a few other songs on it that I really don't know very well. I listen to them, but I don't know them that well. But mm-hmm. Somebody, you got to listen to Somebody.
I'll take a listen to that one. Maybe we'll come back to who knows.
Somebody's a love song.
They've done a couple of cool love songs. Like there's a song called "Is It a Matter of Trust or a Matter of Lust or one of those, one of the other of those," which is a really cool. Once again, the lyrics are very poetic and it's slow and, you know, they have those kind of gummy, thick vocals and such.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were able to be like mushy and hard edged at the same time. I think Depeche Mode could do that. Not everybody does that, but they could.
Yeah. I was looking at a lot of these bands and these albums. And sometimes I think society kind of puts women as the more sensitive, loving personality or whatever. And I may be going completely off off track here, but it seems like there's a lot of artists that are men that really write these deep love songs.
Mm-hmm. That it's sweet, huh?
It really is. And you like, we're not portrayed that way, men, you know?
Yeah, you know, there is a little dichotomy there as far as, like, when you see movies and the hero will, you know, jump through fire for, you know, the heroine, and everybody says, ah, that's wonderful. And then the same girl will go home and be like, men suck. You know? But they're out there, you know, they're like, I feel like that guy wouldn't be written, and, you know, men write movies too. But that guy wouldn't be written if there wasn't some man out there who was thinking, I would stand in front of a bus to save the person I love, you know?
Yep. My lady.
And I think and you see that in the songs too, and it's true. It's just a lot of outpouring. And I mean, this is what people do. I think music is what kind of makes us human beings, you know? We get so emotional, excited that we sing, and it's just a beautiful thing. So, and that's it. It's true. There's a lot of guys singing a lot of love songs where, you know, in the real world, you kind of dismiss that, you know, like, guys aren't that emotional. And maybe it's good that you guys have this outlet.
It is. Actually, I think it could be. Like you said, music is such an awesome part of our lives. I cannot imagine what life would be like, how dark and boring life would be without music. It's such a huge part of who I am. Now, I've met people in the past that have been like, you know, you'll ask them, oh, what do you like? What do you like to listen to? Oh, I don't know, whatever. Whatever's on the radio. Like, really? Like,
I didn't hang around with anybody who ever said anything like that, no.
I've known a couple of people that have said that. I'm like, oh, we really can't be on a really good friendship level. I mean, yeah, we'll be acquaintances and all, but there's going to be something missing in that relationship. You know, as friends, like, we can't relate on the same level because I love music.
Just all the cultural references, first of all, are gone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can't quote lyrics, forget it.
Like, it's why I do this series of podcasts. It's all about music. You know, Dave knows that I've been the music guy since he's brought me on. I want to talk about all kinds of music. And, you know, I've talked about in the past that I'm, you know, my main wheelhouse is heavy metal and hard rock, but I do appreciate so much of the other stuff that's out there, especially the new wave, because it was such a huge part of my teenage years. So, anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Do we want to move on to the next pick? Do you have a number two pick for your list?
Number two is almost harder than number one. I don't want to talk about the same bands over and over again, but we've acknowledged that these bands just kept cranking out album after album, year after year, with hardly even a break in between, just beyond imagination as far as being able to sustain that level of creativity.
And several with multiple albums in 1 year.
Yeah, a couple of not even a year's break. I mean, come on. They were just like bursting at the seams.
Do you ever come out of the studio?
you know? Exactly. That must just be just so much coming out of their brains that, you know, you can't stay away.
It's a flood.
But in any case, I mean, it was good for us. So if I had to pick a second one, at the risk of sounding redundant, U2 came out with The Unforgettable Fire that year. And that was a terrific album.
It's got some good stuff on it for sure.
Yeah. Pride in the Name of Love is on there. And there is a song. It's not exactly a radio friendly song, but there's a song that's called A Sort of Homecoming. Which is this beautiful, epic, amazing song that just ends with Bono just like screaming these lyrics. It's fabulous, and they're kind of doing it. Has a bit of that still, that ethnic flavor, like some, like a little bit of Irish folksy kind of "Oh come away, come I say, oh come," etc. And it goes on and on. It's just like magic. It's someone, like somebody praying, and it was just a wonderful song. It was a wonderful song to sing. It was beautiful to listen to.
That's called A Sort of Homecoming.
A Sort of Homecoming.
I'm gonna have to check that one out because I don't recognize that at all.
Yeah, well, that's the gem song.
Oh, really?
Sort of
the hidden gem.
Yeah,
okay.
I would say that's the gem song.
Very cool.
And I used to sing that in a band with my brother, where we would kind of like split up the lyrics because, you know, things get kind of hard into higher registers and stuff. But we had a lot of fun. We put our hearts out, and you know, it just kind of has a special place. But, you know, like any old band couldn't do a song like that. You have to be you too.
The city walls are all brought down. The dust and smoke screen all around. See faces plowed like fields that once gave no resistance.
Very special. They in the 80s, they were quite the impact on the industry. They have so many great albums and great songs. So this is a good pick. Like I said, I don't know as many of the songs. Well, I definitely know "Pride in the Name of Love."
Uh huh. But yeah, definitely a good one. Okay, let's get
and
for the,
bad. Also bad. I remember bad. So the other ones I'm not really familiar with.
Yeah.
So I'll have to. I'll have to check this album out again.
Yeah, that. I mean, I think that pretty much makes it. Even just those two songs, I think, kind of make it. It's more of a rambling type of album. It's not like a top 40 type of album.
Right on.
But yeah. So that's give it a listen. Give it a listen. It's worth
okay.
it.
Okay, I definitely will.
Okay.
Well, we are flying through this time.
Yeah. Well, did Dave? I think Dave had a couple of other things that he wanted
us
to mention.
Yes. We can definitely touch on those. Let me pull those up real quick. I made a little document. Let's see, where's Dave's honorable mentions. Thompson Twins.
Yeah, that was on my list too.
Yeah. The song, what, Hold Me Now, or is that the name of the album? I missed that one.
No, the album was Into the Gap.
Okay. But the song, like the one song that's off there is Hold Me Now, right?
Hold Me Now is a beautiful song.
It's iconic. I mean, it's
yeah, it's... I just thinking about it, I'm getting chills. Just Hold Me Now is just a beautiful, beautiful song. And I had mentioned that when you had said, "What's that song that you wanted to hear playing in the background when you're at the prom and the person you know, dying to dance with finally walks over and asks you to dance?" That was to the Thompson Twins, "Hold Me Now." But they actually, I remember that album for maybe similar to the cars, it was just kind of the era when people were really starting to get kind of slick when it came to producing videos and having all this nice footage up on MTV. There were several videos from this album that were playing all the time. They were nice and glossy. And they were like concert footage mixed in with the rest, you know, with different little clips and such. They had a song called Dr. Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And the Gap. And Hold Me Now. Those three, I think, were pretty strong songs that all came out bam, bam, bam on the radio.
And I definitely remember Dr. Doctor and Hold Me Now. I don't remember the Gap.
Mm-hmm. You might if you heard it. It was an interesting little, you know, that had like this little kind of ethnic sounding thing happening in the middle of the song. But East is East, West and West is West, etc. So it might come back to you. But in any case, Tom Bailey just looked gorgeous. He was just quite photogenic, very camera friendly. And that was the kind of thing where I think he was like this musical genius, and the other two were just kind of there, like banging on bongos now and then or something. I think that was just him, that band. So.
Yeah, I remember her doing a lot of the Alana Curry is her name. She did a lot of backup vocals.
And then she was
in percussion too, and you know,
it's like banging things. I think he wrote everything and said, here, bang this. And she did.
She had some radical. I loved her hair. Her hair was awesome.
It was harsh. I was always kind of like, geez, she could probably be so pretty if she just grew her hair. Put a little mascara, you know. But that was not like the new wave English thing to do. You had to look like somebody like ran over your head with half your head with a lawnmower. So.
Yeah, and then sprayed it immediately with like 12 cans of Aquanet.
But it made a statement. You know, they were not saying, I'm pretty. They were saying, I'm creative, I'm cool, I'm making music and you're going to dance. So.
Yeah, that's a great, that's a good one by Dave there.
Yes.
Oh, man, I just... Hold Me Now in Your Loving Arms. Oh, it's great. It's a great song, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else did he pick? Oh, Animotion, the band.
Animotion.
And the song Obsession, which was...
Okay. Once again, a very iconic 80s song.
Again,
you know, with
yes.
That banging electronic bass line thing going on the whole time. That was not one of my favorite songs, but it's definitely one that you... associate the whole decade with.
Oh, absolutely.
And you remember it fondly, even if it wasn't like the song that you died for.
Oh, right. I mean, it was okay when back in the day when I was listening to this stuff in high school, not really listening to this stuff, but I hung out with a group of people that, like, I think I might have mentioned, I bounced around from in kind of eclectic groups. I would hang out with the, you know, kind of the headbangers, and then I would hang out with a couple of jocks every once in a while, and then I'd hang out with this other group that was more of the new wave group. They were like a year or two younger than me, and they listened to all this stuff all the time. Huge Madonna fans, you know, Depeche Mode and a lot of that stuff, and definitely that was part of the influence, hanging out with those people and getting the influence from them. Now, I was able to influence them to listen to some of my heavy metal and hard rock, so that was kind of cool, too. Anyway, so, what is next? Are you there? Hello?
Sorry. Here I am.
Okay. I thought I lost you.
Must have clicked on the mute, I think, accidentally.
Oh, okay.
But in any case... Yeah, I think New Wave people were fun people.
Oh, yeah, and I remember going
to have fun.
There was a place, what was it called? Something Village. It was this weird little shopping center that was like Old Town Village. And it was in Westminster, California.
Okay.
Just north of Huntington. We lived in Huntington Beach, and we all went to Huntington Beach High School, and just north of there was Westminster.
Oh, God, by the beach. How cool.
Oh, yeah. You have no idea. I lived, like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, okay?
Love it.
Like, I knew Spicoli, okay? Actually, I knew several Spicolis.
Okay. Were you a Spicoli? No.
Not quite. I never really got into the surfing thing, but I did maybe exit a van with a lot of smoke.
But I'm not that's a great visual. Yeah.
I'm not going to totally go into that right now.
Okay. All right. We get it.
Yeah. So we used to go to this, I think it was called Old Town Village. But it was weird. It had like this old little German feel to it. With the not bungalow, I can't remember the term for this type of housing, but they had these little shops, and it was like a little downtown district, and they would have I think I mentioned before KROQ, that radio station, right?
Yes, in Southern very California. Influential.
Every like Thursday night, they would have this big party at this village place that was just up the road from us, and it was a huge thing to go to. Like, people went there all the time for it. And I could be wrong. That's about Thursday. Cool. Could have been a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night, but it was during the week, and it was totally focused on teenagers. There's no booze or anything like that. It was just this dance party for new wave stuff, and it was kind of cool looking back
at it
now. I love
that. That sounds great.
Yeah, you would have.
Would you do it again?
You would have totally loved it. I went for the girls, mostly.
Oh, well. Why not? I mean, that's what parties are for.
Exactly. You know? And then also, Knott's Berry Farm. Have you ever heard of Knott's Berry Farm?
I have heard of it. I have not been there.
Okay, so Knott's Berry Farm was another thing that they did this kind of. It might not have been every week, but like once a month they had a new wave dance party thing going on, and we would go to that a couple times I went to that. And that's mm-hmm. a lot of fun. So it was really just powerful music in Southern California at the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was out off on the other coast. Yeah, but that's not too much of a tangent because, you know, it was part of the culture. And I don't think that that culture really exists anymore in parallel now. Because I wish that my daughter had places to go out and just dance to the music that she loves. We used to go 2-3 times a week. We'd be at some party or club or something, depending on where we were in our lives. But we were always just out dancing and listening to music. And I don't think she, as much as she's, she's kind of a cool girl. She's into more of these kind of retro, progressive, new what you would kind of call like new punk type of things, but they just don't have this. They don't go clubbing. They don't have the club with the big dance floor and the video wall where you're like looking at the band playing behind you. It's not the same kind of thing. And you know, that's what we did. That was part of why you loved the music. And
I don't even know if they have that anymore, right? Like you're saying.
I don't know. Really, see, don't... I don't go, it's not like I go out trolling anymore, you know, to see where the clubs are, but I don't think so based on the fact that, you know, from what she's told me, it doesn't sound like she's seen any of that. And I would think I would at least have heard from her if that's what she was able to go out and do. But, you know, who knows? Maybe I'm just not looking hard enough.
Yeah, but I know that there was a lot of, like, bars.
Uh-huh. And we would have new wave nights at there would be at least one or two clubs in town. There was one on campus called the Upstage Lounge that when it first opened up, we were, like, the first 8 people to ever show up at this place. It was like completely empty, but one of my roommates, her boyfriend was involved with like the 4 people who owned the place, and they had recruited some of the students to come. Like, one was the bouncer, and then another one was the bartender, and another one was, you know, in charge of like trying to recruit people to come down. So they recruited us to come down, And we felt like we had the whole place to ourselves. Like it was our bar. So we didn't mind that there were only like 7 people there, including the 4 of us. Mm. But yeah, it was like our bar and the bartender was like mine.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know, within a couple of months, it was this hugely popular venue, which I think went on for years and years after we left. But they would have new wave nights, which like started at first, it was Monday and then it was Monday and Wednesday. And then, you know, after a while it was just a new wave club, but it was the best. It was the best. You just knew who you were going to go out there and meet, you know, every Monday. So.
Yeah. I remember there was another club in Huntington Beach. Actually, it was in like Huntington Harbor. It's like the more upscale part of Huntington, which is, you know, it's right on the water, and there's a lot of big huge houses. But there was this place called the Red Onion, and it was a go-to place in high school. And there was a bar. It was a regular bar, but once a week they would do everybody, you know, under 21, and of course they wouldn't serve alcohol that night or whatever, or you had to have a special ID or bracelet or something that you could buy drinks. That's... but everybody else was underage, and it was for teenage night, and it was a huge deal.
Now, and again,
I don't hear about these things anymore.
This was a very unique moment in history as far as teenage drinking or under 20, drinking for under 20, 21. I grew up in New York, and when I graduated high school, it was legal to drink at 18.
Oh, wow.
But then I went to college in Pennsylvania, and the age was 21.
Ah.
So I would go back and forth between being legal and not being legal. I would go back to New York and take orders from the people in Pennsylvania for what bottles to bring back in my suitcase.
Nice.
Because I could buy whatever I wanted. And then you hit this year, like 1984, 1985, and they started moving the age. So then suddenly in New York, you had to be 19. So for half a year, I was not legal again in New York. 6 months, then, you know, turned 19, I was legal again. And then they moved it to 21. So it was just bizarre. And I remember those days of, The bars didn't know what to do because they didn't want to lose all their customers who were 19 and 20 year olds.
Right.
So we would get the bracelets, and there was like plexiglass, like partitioning the bar, so you could drink on one side. Seriously.
Yes. No. I remember a place like that.
Right. Because I guess the bars didn't know what they were going to do now that they changed the age. But you know, you're never going to see a moment like that again in history. But we lived through it.
Oh yeah. Wow. That's so crazy. Yeah. I love talking about this stuff. It's so fun.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting time.
It was. It was a change. There's a change. Like it was like a 90-degree turn in the history of just humans and the way things changed so dramatically during the video era. The MTV music era was where really things took a strange turn and awesome, strange and awesome at the same time.
And in the end, brief. You know, it didn't go on for as long as I thought it would. Let's say.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very unique.
It was like it wasn't a full decade of strange. It was more like about 5 years of real change. You know. With a little bit of buffer on each end of you know, you're seeing the change come in on the front end, and then you're starting to see the results on the back end, but the real change happened right in the middle of the 80s, which is...
Yeah, but that's why I think 1984, 1985 is special, you know?
Yeah.
That's definitely where you hit that peak.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, should we mention a few more of our favorites from that year, just for...
All right. I've got Howard Jones, Humans Live.
Nice.
Which had a few songs on it that were just, I love Howard Jones. I love Howard Jones. Pearl in the Shell and What is Love, I think, is probably the number one most played song in my music collection on my phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I just adore that song. And then there's a song called New Song. And he just plays it all on keyboards. Okay. Because I've seen him in concert too, and there was a moment, I think, when he was playing New Song, where he had like four or five keyboards out on the stage, and he walked from one to the other and turned each one on, and they started playing the different parts of the song as he walked across the stage. And when he got all the way to the other side of the stage, the whole song was playing. But no people were playing anything. No people were playing any instruments.
No, and
it was all like the keyboards.
This was a really big like step for just the way they were playing music. You know, they were using samples of their own music. They would throw down a beat and then they would record it and they would have it over, you know, repeat over and over, and then they would go to the next like computer, like a digital copy, right? Like these, mm-hmm. This was the beginning of digital music, really.
Yes.
And how they used digital music versus today's digital music is a totally different industry. You know, it's not. Mm-hmm. Although they use a lot of the similar creation of music, like if you listen to people like Gaudier and. Some of the bands that are similar in that. The newer digital sound, which is the new wave, I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Gaudier at all? Are you familiar with Gaudier?
I know the one song that was popular, which...
Now You're Just Somebody That I Used to Know? Or
yes. Okay. Yeah. Which was a good song. It was a really catchy song. And it was kind of sparse. I kind of like when you can get away with making a song a good song and it doesn't have to have like a ton of orchestration. It's just something kind of simple going on in the background.
Yeah.
So, and if I remember, that song fit that mold.
I'm listening to a lot of the newer digital stuff, or like the, I guess it's called, they call it deep house music, I guess.
Okay.
And it reminds me a lot of what they were doing in the 80s. It's got a similar feel of newness to it. So check it out sometime. So
cool.
Like, just go on like either Pandora or Spotify and pick like Gaudier Radio and listen to some of the stuff. It's not just Gaudier, but some of the other stuff that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
okay.
God, where were we going with that? I totally went off on a tangent on that.
I was talking about Howard Jones.
Oh yes, Howard Jones. So that was your next. That was one of your other honorable mentions.
Yeah, that was fabulous.
Oh, with his keyboard thing, with going through the four different keyboards and pulling up music. That's pretty awesome.
It was cool. But we can move on if you have a couple of also ran types that you want to mention.
I do have like, I have two that are really.
Yeah, I still have more stuff.
The Fix, Phantoms. You know, I picked The Fix last time, and like you said, you don't want to overpick somebody. But this one's got a few good songs on it. Less Cities, More Moving People is a great song. Sunshine in the Shade is a great song, and Are We Ourselves is an awesome song too. The other one, and you might want to have input on this one, is the soundtrack from Stop Making Sense by the Talking Heads.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
that was cool stuff.
Let me preface this. I'm not a huge Talking Heads fan.
Oh, I am.
But I understand how talented they are and the impact that they had. Especially this album was huge. And, of course, Burning Down the House is just a great freaking party song.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely fabulous.
How can you not get fired up here? Pun. True. There's another pun that I just accidentally threw out there. Burning down the house. You're fired up by burning down the house. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it works. The shoe fits.
Yeah, and this one's got Psycho Killer. Awesome song. I love that one.
I think this is where he came up. Like, he did this tour, and this is where he came up with the big white jacket with those huge shoulders. Which was just kind of an exaggeration of the trend that everybody was wearing, but in a ridiculous fashion.
That was the Once in a Lifetime video?
No, the Once in a Lifetime video, that was from like 1980, and he was wearing a rather geeky suit then, But no, if you've seen the footage of him, it's usually kind of similar, where there's, you know, several different images of him in that outrageously oversized jacket, like he's swimming in it, and he, you know, shaking his shoulders up and down, and his head is practically disappearing in it. That became kind of an iconic thing.
Yeah, and it was actually like it was spoofed on comedy stuff like Saturday Night Live and stuff.
Because it was kind of it was kind of funny. I mean, it was kind of comical just to watch.
Yeah.
But you know, it was kind of like tongue in cheek, making fun of itself. And that's, you gotta love David Byrne for that kind of stuff. And just, I love just the title. I just love the idea of Stop Making Sense. You know, to me that says something about the whole music genre. You don't need to make sense. Stop making sense. Don't overthink things.
Yeah.
Have a great time. You can be whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. I think a lot of people took that to heart, too.
Yeah, good.
A lot of bands really like, all right, we are not going to make sense.
We are not going to. We don't have to. Thank you. Thank you for permission.
Yes. Now, on this... So I'm a little confused because I think you said Once in a Lifetime was from 1980. So
the song itself, yeah.
The song itself. Now, what about Life During Wartime? Because I remember we talked about that previously.
Yeah, well, Stop Making Sense was a concert album, right? It was like the soundtrack of a film, but the film was like a concert experience type of film, if I'm remembering right.
Right,
I'm not
but
always right.
It wasn't like a live performance. It wasn't like a live concert performance where they just, you know.
Yeah, that I don't remember. It might have been kind of orchestrated, which is kind of, he's doing a show like that on Broadway now, which I'd love to see.
Hmm. Is he really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very expensive.
What is it nowadays? What shows are not expensive?
Very expensive. Yeah. But anyway, so you were saying about Life During Wartime.
Oh yeah, no, just another great song that's listed on this album. Now, I should have done a little more research into the album, I guess, to realize that it was kind of a compilation, best of kind of a thing for their movie. Mm-hmm. I know it was part of a soundtrack for the movie, but I didn't realize it was like from different years. So, my mistake. Oh well, whatever. It's a great song. Great songs on there. Burning down the house.
Yeah, that, and it was a big deal. It wasn't just a regular old live album. It was, you know, once again, they were artists. I think they were art students. So everything they did was kind of this artsy performance type of thing, as opposed to just the song.
Right.
That's what this was. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's a thinker, definitely. Mm-hmm. So that's really all I have. Dave did mention one. Oh no, wait. I have one more. Just one song by Nick Kershaw. Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be good?
Wouldn't it be good, yeah.
Which one is it? No, I don't always remember things exactly. Nick?
Oh, man, I just had the dang thing. And
wouldn't it be good?
Wouldn't it be good?
Yes, that was cool. That's a great song.
I have that on one of those 80s compilation DVDs, or not DVDs, CDs that I just kind of came across through the years, and like, where are they
he
now?
Had great hair.
One of those where are they now type things, and that song is on there, and I just love that song.
That's a great song.
And the name of the album is called Human Racing, which when I looked it up, it came up with like some weird explanation of that this is an album. This is not about human racing. It has nothing to do with humans racing.
All right.
So, anyway.
Yeah, he had great hair. I have to say that, too.
Oh, yeah.
And Howard Jones had cool hair, too.
There was a lot of good hair. A lot of great hair in the 80s.
Yeah, Tom Bailey. Love it. They were all, like, talking about racing. They were kind of racing to the top as far as who had the coolest hair.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to talk about them at all, but like the Stray Cats, you know, that's
the Stray Cats.
I don't remember what year they actually came out with, but that's another, you know, he had some amazing hair too.
Yeah, that definitely. Big, that was more of a rockabilly
Buffon,
type of
look. Yeah, rockabilly Buffon thing going on. So.
Yeah, they're from Long Island too. Brian Setzer's from Long Island.
Oh, really?
So, Yeah.
You got a lot of people. You got a lot of people up in your area.
Yeah, I know. Well, because it's so close to New York City, so it's not a big jump to go in and say, okay, I'm going to be famous now. All right, I have one more song I want to mention.
Okay.
Which is the Icicle Works' Whisper to a Scream.
Oh, my God.
It's a great
song. That's a great song.
Great, great song.
Oh, I love that song.
And, everybody, you know, that's just... I don't even know if you would call it a one-hit wonder. I mean, I know people who said they like that album, but just from that's one of those songs. Like the moment you first hear it, like everything just stops. This is just so cool. It is a great song, and I was surprised to find. Okay, so rewatched Scream this week, the other day. This song is of some version sung by some girls. Of this song plays at the end of that movie.
Really?
Which is appropriate, you know, because it's Scream. So
now
I was like, oh, that's really cool.
when you say at the end of the movie, was it during credit roll or?
Yeah, during the credits.
Okay, because I stopped. I didn't watch the credits.
Ah, so you missed it. Mm. And the credits.
Sometimes, that's sometimes where you get the little nuggets of the soundtrack. Of the best nuggets of the soundtrack in those credits too.
Yeah, yeah, and they had those kind of neat old fashioned credits where they showed the person's picture and you know the little cut from the movie where they're talking and they show you the person's name and then all this stuff is playing in the background. Hmm. So you know it was visually there was something to watch. It wasn't just the names rolling, but it was cool. That and have you watched Stranger Things?
I've watched series one or season one and about five episodes of season two, but we got sidetracked onto something else and I never went to revisit it. And then my wife lost interest in it. So it's hard to watch a TV show without her because we always watch TV shows together.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Right now we're revisiting Schitt's Creek, which is freaking hysterical.
That's a good one, Sam.
It's so funny. It's out there. Anyway,
but in any case, Stranger Things, I believe it's season two, opens up in 1984.
Okay.
And there is a scene late in the season where I won't tell you what's happening because I don't want to ruin it for you. But in any case, there's a scene late in the season where at the very end of the episode. This song comes up in the background when there's something kind of poignant happening, you know, and then going off into the, you know, the next phase of the story, what have you. And just to hear those kind of like bellish type of song, you know, sounds in the beginning. Like right away, you know what song that is. Anybody who actually lived through 1984 and, you know, you don't get to hear the whole song, but I thought it was really cool that they used it and they, you know, they're breathing life back into this piece of music because it was quite one of those gems.
Hmm. Actually, this song, I'm going to have to go and listen to right after we hang up.
Ah, it's beautiful. Absolutely. The drums are great.
I gotta listen to this because I know it's one of my favorite songs from that time, and I don't hear it that often. But when I do,
it was a little bit of an underground song, if I remember. You didn't hear it all over the place, even at the time.
Right. I hear it occasionally on, like, satellite radio, channel 33, First Wave, it's called, where they play all this stuff from the new wave. If you have satellite radio, it's a great station, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, I think officially the song might be called Birds Fly, and Whisper to a Scream is in parens.
I have it both ways in front of me. It shows Birds Fly with Whisper to a Scream in parentheses, and then next to it, given the reverse title, Whisper to a Scream with Birds Fly in parentheses. So I don't know which one it is. Either way, I know the song, and it's a great song, and thank you so much for bringing it up.
Welcome. I hear a lot of people on the 80s boards that, you know, in groups that I talk to on social media, talk about this song. Like, a lot of people seem to remember the song, but you still don't hear it a lot That's why I thought it was really fabulous to hear it in Stranger Things, because that's a wildly popular show. A lot of people are going to hear that song.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to go listen to it as soon as we hang up. I'm on it.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up on my phone just to get ready for it. So, and I'm gonna have to put it to my Bluetooth speaker and crank it up.
It's really loud, yeah.
Mentioned one other album or one other song, Bananarama.
I'll say my opinion of Bananarama.
Now, see, I'm not sure about Bananarama being actually new wave. I think they were just a little too poppy, in my opinion. But Cruel Summer was from Karate Kid during some soccer scene that Dave mentioned. So that's the last mention. Anyway.
Okay.
Do you want to wrap it up?
Sure.
Okay.
If we have to close the door on 1984, I guess we will.
Yeah. There's been a lot of stuff. We talked about a lot of good albums. Such good stuff. So, thank you for joining us for another episode of 80s Mixtape. This was 1984. Suzanne, would you like to give us your social media credentials so we can follow you on Facebook and Twitter, website, and all that good stuff?
Twitter is Suze Mataboni. I have a website, suzannemataboni.com, SUZANNEMATTABONI. I have to put that to music or something so that you can remember it. It's such a mouthful. Maybe I'll just change my name. I don't know. But in any case, yeah, Suzanne Mattaboni 80s on Instagram as well. And I think that's where you can probably find me on Facebook if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
See me talking to my friends from high school.
And we try to, you know, if you follow us at 80s, you know, or at Banzai Retro Club on Twitter and on Facebook, you can find us, like I'm 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter, and Suzanne, you'll find her all linked. We all, you know, kind of include each other on tweets and stuff, so you can kind of weed through that and pick us up through there too. So
sounds good.
I am Scott. I'm saying goodbye. Suzanne, it's been wonderful. Oh, I almost forgot. Please leave us reviews. Go and leave star reviews on the iTunes app for podcasts or any other podcast source that you use. If you can either comment or you leave reviews, like a lot of these are coming out where you can actually leave reviews for them now, like the Podbean podcast app, you can you can leave a review there too. So we're always looking for those types of things. And if you have any suggestions, you can email us at McFly@BanzaiRetroClub. And I think that's all. So take care, everybody. Be excellent to each other. And have a good whatever.
Bye. Bye.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Banzai!